The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.
Talk about Irish rugby and the rest of the weekend sport. But Cathal Mullany, we have to begin in Croke Park yesterday. One of the best games of hurling I've ever been at. And I would say that, of course, being on the winning side. But it was so good to see Cork doing what they had the potential to do for the last few years. And going back to Saturday, watching Clare dig it out. I mean, they were 7 points down at one point and looked like it had gotten away from them, and they pulled it back against Kilkenny. So I think we have the right All-Ireland final.
Oh, we've got a brilliant pairing for the All-Ireland final, and memories of 2013, I'm sure you'll remember as well.
I was only mentioning how traumatised I was by that.
Yeah, Clare managed to edge past Cork on that one after a replay. What a weekend's action, Jonathan, first of all, from a neutral point of view for those of us that are neutral. But you mentioned Clare. We'll speak about them first on Saturday. Very poor first half performance. You got a sense that maybe it might be going the same way that it went the last 2 years against Kilkenny in All-Ireland semi-finals when they were on the back foot. And then Kilkenny went six ahead, as you say, in the second half. They were in a very comfortable position after that goal in the second half. But Clare roared into things after that. They'll take a lot of confidence from that, I feel, given that they had come up short, as I say, against Kilkenny in the last 2 years. But the resilience, I guess, that they showed to bounce back and make their way through. Brian Lohan said that, you know, it was never really for that Clare team to deliver in Croke Park. You got the sense if they'd lost that match, it might be the end for that group. Mm. You look at the likes of Tony Kelly, Shane O'Donnell, still quite young, but they've got a lot of mileage on the clock. And then John Connell and the likes too.
Kelly just digging it out. I mean, they were behind so often.
And Kelly came good when they really needed him to come good late on. So too did Shane O'Donnell and a few other of their key players, David Fitzgerald as well. So they edged Pascal Kenny by 2 points. And then, I mean, yesterday, I mean, what an occasion. And I know, obviously, you're biased with your Cork hat on and you're smiling very widely.
My Cork
this morning.
Jersey that I wore coming in this morning. But yeah.
It was a wonderful occasion to start with.
82,500. It was an absolutely full house for an All-Ireland semi-final. I put that down to the fact that Cork have been starved of this kind of thing. And the fact that we got there, the fact it was Limerick, I was estimating about 2-1 in favour of Cork supporters yesterday.
Someone said 50,000 Cork people around yesterday.
It was incredible. And the roar and the atmosphere just helped lift them. Because, you know, there were matches previously, like the Dublin game and the Offaly game, which I watched on TV. It wasn't that them. But, you know, there was a sense that the Cork atmosphere was dead.
Yeah.
By the 16th man was loud yesterday.
And you have to remember where Cork had come from in this championship, Jonathan. You remember it very well, where they lost their first two matches. It feels like a long time ago now that they lost to Waterford and then they were beaten by Clare.
But Pat Collins, I think, redeemed himself yesterday for any critics that would have had things to say about him in those opening games where Cork did lose. But it was a different format, a different structure. They were taking risks. The ball was going in high. They were getting it up to the forwards and they were taking the shots, and the goal itself was just incredible.
Marvellous. And it's not a case that Limerick played poorly yesterday. They've been wonderful champions. They were heading for five All-Irelands in a row this year. Obviously they've won six Munsters in a row, but it wasn't a case that Limerick played poorly. I think Cork just produced a really good performance. And what I really liked about it, Jonathan, was the spread of scorers that they had. If you look across the six forwards that they had, I mean, Decky Dalton had a couple of great scores from underneath the Hogan stand.
There was a heart-stopping moment where Patrick Horgan was taken off just as we needed to score.
You had that free towards the end.
And I think everybody was like, why? Why is this happening? And we were questioning Pat Ryan's judgment. But look, in the end, we didn't need it. What was different yesterday was Limerick always had this ability to come out at the start of the second half and blitz whoever their opponent is. And Cork turned it like 3 points. I was actually still outside in the bathroom. And by the time I came back up, there was 3 points on the board.
And you were worried probably prior to halftime when Limerick had come back into the game after the Cork goal in the first half. Limerick, to their credit, bounced back. They had two late wides in the, what was it, added time that generally you would expect them to get. And you just felt like, as Limerick have done so many times over the years, that they might come back and maybe he could draw out of it. But Cork hung on. And we're left now with a fascinating final pairing, really, Jonathan. Clare against Cork. Cork's last All-Ireland back in 2005. It's a long, long time. And Clare starved of success as well. They've come up short in Munster finals, their last All-Ireland back in 2013, as we mentioned. I can only imagine what the scramble for tickets is going to be like.
I'm just going to have you any tickets, Carl, is it? Any whiff of tickets out here? The search will begin, but look, we have loads of things in Cork over the next while. I suspect they'll have people interested. The red and white, the flag is staying up.
Are you giving Cork the nod at this stage? Of course you are.
I think this is obviously going to be the best chance we've had since 2005. But I genuinely think that these two teams going, whatever happens, it'll be a great game of hurling.
It will.
It will be a fantastic game of hurling. Let's turn to matches that weren't as interesting over the weekend. The Euros have been a little grim, haven't they? I mean, the nil-all draws going to penalties, 1-1 draws going to penalties.
Yeah.
It's just,
I think the Euros have been funny in that some of the matches that maybe we haven't expected to really whet the appetite have, and the bigger teams maybe haven't performed to the extent that they were expected.
I'm sad to see Turkey go. I thought Turkey brought a lot to this.
Yeah, point. Turkey played a lot of good football. I think Georgia were one of the better teams as well. Albania in the tournament as well played some nice stuff. In terms of the weekend's action, England squeezed through again. They beat Switzerland on penalties. I think Switzerland would be very disappointed. They might have fancied their chances. Speaking of the teams that haven't maybe been performing well, the likes of France obviously are still there as well. But Switzerland maybe viewed themselves as dark horses to go all the way, maybe like Greece back in 2004. But England managed to find their way through. The Netherlands then fell behind against Turkey, but they won that game by 2-1. So that sets us up for the semi-finals, France against Spain and England against the Netherlands midweek. Very hard to pick a winner. I would suggest maybe Spain based on the football that they've played so far. But again, they haven't been overly impressive.
The way this tournament has gone, it could easily be England who'll just bore us to death and win on a penalty shootout.
Well, it's about getting through, isn't it? The old cliche, and they've managed to do it even though they haven't caught fire just yet. Now, the Netherlands have a really good starting 11 as well. France, littered with quality, but again, they stuttered all the way through. So it remains to be seen whether someone will catch fire or it's going to be a case of just edging through by narrow margins. But that's the semi-final lineup that we're left with at the Euros.
The rugby kind of caught people unawares of the weekend because there was so much on between the GAA and the soccer, but Ireland not getting the result they had wanted by any stretch.
Yeah, it was always going to be difficult, I think, to beat South Africa in South Africa. It finished 27-20. Now, Ireland showed a lot of resilience in that match to come back, and they finished the game quite strongly. There was a lot of build-up, a lot of tetchiness, I think, in the build-up to that match, particularly from the South African side in terms of wanting to get one over in Ireland after the World Cup meeting last autumn and kind of stamp their authority, South Africa, that they are the best team in the world. And I think they managed to do that. Though Ireland would be reasonably pleased with the performance, I think. It has been such a long season. When you consider the World Cup feels like an age ago, there's been a Six Nations in there, and of course the club commitments for all the players as well. There is some worrying injury news emerging from the Ireland camp this morning that Dan Sheehan looks to have sustained a pretty serious knee injury, ACL injury, it's understood. So that looks like he's going to be ruled out, certainly for the medium term, and potentially set to miss a large chunk of next season. And Craig Casey also suffered a concussion in that match. So there will be a couple of changes, you suspect, to the Ireland team for the second test next weekend. But South Africa will be, again, hoping to stamp their authority there when that game takes place next weekend.
In my excitement, I skipped over the ladies' Gaelic football and the Camogie as well. So tell us the results there, because the ladies' football certainly is throwing up an interesting round of semi-finals.
Well, the big result there over the weekend of the quarterfinals was Galway's win over Dublin in dramatic circumstances at Parnell Park, a goal in extra time seeing Galway through there. Kerry have looked very good in recent years. They got the better of Meath by 16-8, and Cork beat Waterford, while yesterday Armagh, who are without the services of Amy Mackin, who's out injured, but they beat Mayo by 2-11. So that's how things finished in the quarterfinals of the All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship. And in the Camogie this weekend, the standout result was on Saturday afternoon at Croke Park, where Dublin got the better of Kilkenny by 113-12. Aisling Mara, very, very impressive there for the Dubs as they made their way through to the semi-final. Galway got the better of Waterford then in yesterday's quarter-final as well. So things nicely set up there with Cork and Tipperary also through to the semi-finals.
You've annoyed a Clare listener.
Okay.
Yeah, it says, is two goals considered edging past? Clare beat Cork 5-16-3-16 in 2013.
Now, after a replay.
I was at both those games. And, you know, goals win matches, as we know. Mm. And yeah, they kind of did edge past. But look, they're just bitter down there.
Well, I tell you what, it's hard to believe that that's 11 years ago. And Tony Kelly and Shane O'Donnell
were playing then.
And yeah, they weren't just playing. They were central to Clare's win that day. Shane O'Donnell burst onto the scene, and they're still there.
Yeah.
And they're still producing for Clare.
And the other thing, somebody turned around to me yesterday, it could have been Patrick Horgan's last game yesterday, but he gets to go again.
And the scoring record and all of that, he's going against TJ Reid. So there's so many fascinating subplots and storylines attached to the final. So I really hope that we'll have a good build-up to this, and the colour and the excitement in both counties is going to be brilliant. And whatever way it goes, one of the counties is going to end that long wait for success.
I'm still smiling. That's all I'm going to say.
Will you be smiling in 2 weeks' time?
We'll come back to that. Cathal, thank you very much as always. Cathal Mlandy from Off the Ball, thank you for that. Don't forget, you can listen to all the items as they're uploaded as podcasts on our website. You can listen to them on the News Talk website, or indeed the News Talk app, which is powered by Go Loud.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.